The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark. That guy is Swagoo.
Swag, what up, though? What that toast was hitting for?
Yeah, he just got eating toast.
He was eating toast with, like, jam and butter.
Oh, that thing was busting,
window.
Anyway, it's Touchscreen Tuesday. You don't want to miss that. But let's get back to Monday Night Football. Yeah. We go to Mexico City for this one. 49ers and the Cardinals getting ready to go. Start of the second quarter here. Cardinals lead 3-0. Jimmy Garoppolo pitching it to his new favorite target, Christian McCaffrey.
Candidly, I couldn't see anything but 71. Trent Williams pulling, looking like McCaffrey running.
Three plays later, athleticism from the Arizona 7, Garoppolo finding Brandon Ayuk for the 7-yard touchdown.
We give Jimmy a hard time. That's a really impressive play. That's really getting back to number 4 to Ayuk. Great read.
Next Niner possession, 3rd and 3 from the Arizona 39. Garoppolo scrambles, hitting George Kittle.
And in this moment, my son at home went crazy because he's got Kittle on his fantasy team and gave him the win.
Look at that. Good decision by him. 14-3 San Francisco. Third quarter, it's now 17-10 game. Garoppolo to Debo Samuel.
Finding the edge.
Takes the 39 yards.
Some people are calling that the greatest design play they'll see in the NFL this year. The 49ers run that play like once every 3 weeks. It's a great design.
Lots of salsa dancing in the end zone. I love it. Garoppolo hitting Kittle there. Kittle taking it 32 yards for his second touchdown tonight. Just rolling past people, dragging defenders. The 49ers win big in Mexico City, 38-10. The 49ers now 3-1 since acquiring Christian McCaffrey prior to week 7. During that span, their offense ranks top 5 in the NFL in points and yards per game, as well as third down conversion rate. When Christian McCaffrey has been on the field for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, including all 4 of his touchdown passes last night. RC, you see all these different pieces on offense for San Francisco. How does Kyle Shanahan manage to use all of them so
well? Honestly, Kyle Shanahan is taking his childhood and now applying it to coaching. His dad was Mike Shanahan. His dad had money. So Kyle Shanahan knew what it was like to have plentiful gifts at Christmas. And sometimes when you get all these Christmas gifts, you might play with one day. You might not play with another the other day. But you understand how to use all of them. That's who Kyle Shanahan is. Lisa Salters asked him, are you going to get Elijah Mitchell involved? Because Elijah Mitchell was the leading rusher last year. And he said, yes, I want to, but I can't get him out there. There is not enough footballs to go around. He is like a kid that has all of these toys. And he's like, you know what? Today I want to play with Christian McCaffrey. Pause. And then Christian McCaffrey gets the ball. And then he's like, I want to play with Brandon Ayuk. We're going to run a whip route. Oh, you know what? Debo, we haven't taken him out of Castle Grayskull with He-Man recently. So we're going to run a reverse to him. And by the way, the biggest toy that he has to play with is Trent Williams. Pause. We're going to pull him. We're going to bring him back. I wouldn't be surprised if they put him in motion again and allowed him to kill somebody on the outside of the line of scrimmage. Kyle Shanahan understands how to utilize each of these guys, and he did it to perfection last night. We got to see a glimpse into the future of what it's going to look like in the NFC Championship.
Start a show.
We've paused.
RC, come out of fire. Golly, cuz. Listen, man, this is about – for me, this is about Christian McCaffrey and what he's done and how he's multiplied this offense. Look, we already knew that before him, this thing was ran through Debo Samuel. And Debo was the guy that took the pressure off of Jimmy Garoppolo, took the pressure off of those wide receivers. And now you add Christian McCaffrey and pressure is taken off Debo Samuel. And pressure is taken off of Brandon Ayuk and Kittle. And they're playing, like RC is talking about, with these pieces, man. Like, I'm a big fan of the Mississippi Mass Choir, okay? If you haven't heard of them, you need to go check them out. But a lot of people used to get upset with the Mississippi Mass Choir because it was only one lead singer. And everybody knew within that choir somebody else could sing. And somebody else needed to step forward. So that's what Kyle Shanahan is doing right now. Another way of explaining what RC just explained. No, you just don't get the solo no more, Deebo Samuel. You got another lead singer who can take some pressure off you so you can save your voice, and that's Christian McCaffrey.
You know what?
I was like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. I don't know the Mississippi.
Yeah, well, cool. We need to get you educated.
Nick Lachey knew.
A few things this that man. Dan needs to learn. Also, Dan, good luck with your analogy here. I hope you have those two good ones.
I got one.
Okay, so this 49ers defense has allowed 14, 16, and 10 points across their last three games. What makes them so difficult to play against?
Speed, power, and explosion. You know, I watched that tape this morning, all I kept writing down was scary, scary. Dude, their defensive tackles are so game-wrecking off the ball. Like, watch the power. This is a first play of the game.
It's all
imagine being a guy all week, this is what we're going to run, and then the defensive tackles are like, dude, I'm going to blow this play up. And you know what I was thinking it does, guys? Like, everybody on that defense, I'm going to watch Home Alone tonight with my kids. You know, the pigeon lady, when she throws the seed up in the air and all the pigeons come flying. Like,
there we go.
All that once.
She's the scariest part of the
movie. Yo, that's what it's like watching this defense, though. Everybody flies to the football. Everybody flies to the football so fast, man. And you watch that front. Everyone talks about the D-line. You watch this back seven play, and that back seven just – I'm telling you, watch them on tape, and everyone in the back seven is like, when is my turn? Like, they hunt the ball so
everywhere.
Much. Yeah. Dude, it's scary watching that tape. As good as we think Philadelphia and Dallas are, man, that's the most complete defense out of the legitimate playoff contenders in the NFC.
All right, RC said that it's not Friday. I think it might as well be. Let's carry on with this for the rest of the show. To another top story that we need to get to, Zach Wilson in the spotlight for the way he handled another loss to the Patriots. Here's a reminder.
Second down and 10. Oh, there's almost picked off on the side and incomplete. Little high and incomplete for Mims. And Wilson to the air. And he is short and incomplete.
We're out here looking sorry, man. And we know that we're not sorry.
Here comes the pressure. Down he goes.
Haven't been able to get anything going.
Do you feel like you let the defense down?
No. No.
So the most concerning part about Zach Wilson's performance on Sunday is that he struggled in situations that should be favorable. Wilson completed only 31% of his passes with a clean pocket, the worst mark by any quarterback in a game this season. And Wilson completed only 44% of his passes to open receivers, the only quarterback with a lower mark this season, Trey Lance, who did so in week one in a game that was played in torrential rain. Remember that one? So here's Robert Saleh on Wilson's job yesterday with the New York media.
I'm going to get to the tape and just evaluate everything, and I'll leave it at that. We're keeping everything on the table over the next couple of days.
So you're not committing to Zach as your starter for Sunday?
Not right now. Not until I'm done evaluating everything.
All righty then. Marcus, what do you make of the situation in New York right now?
Oh, man. First and foremost, let me say, Dio, I watched you yesterday talk about this situation. Dog, phenomenal. And yeah, I'm not being funny. Usually we casting jokes on people, but that was phenomenal, giving people the insight of what quarterbacks should be. Now, let me give you a defensive player perspective. It came off as arrogant and pompous. That's what it felt like. As a defensive guy, I've sat in the locker room when quarterbacks have come in and done this to their chest, saying this on me, fellas. And we know it's not all on them. We know that those guys didn't have anything to do with how we played or what foot we put forward. But ultimately, when you're in the second year of your career and you play this poorly, now this is the second time you played poorly against New England. The first time was to the tune of 3 interceptions. This is the second time. And for you to say no and take zero responsibility for your performance in particular, which is the one everybody is going to scrutinize. I got a news flash for Zach Wilson. You are going to be more scrutinized than anybody on that football team. You're going to get praised more than anybody on that football team when you have success. But to me, it just seemed arrogant as a defensive guy, and I would not want to look at him come in the locker room.
Well, I think the biggest thing about the locker room is the locker room knows, right? You can't lie to them. Right. And I watched this show called Lie to Me, and on the show, they noticed these certain cues from different people that say you might be fibbing or you might be telling a story. Zach Wilson was lying because he knew he played bad. That's why he hit his nose like this and walked off. Now, you think about this locker room, and you mentioned arrogance, Marcus. How much arrogance does it take to lead you to stupidity? And here is why I say that, and I know that's harsh. This was a layup. He said, the reporter asked, Defensively, you give up 3 points. Offensively, you only scored 3 points. Do you feel you let the defense down? He's basically saying, I'm going to give you the stats that allow you to know you let them down.
Absolutely.
So you can answer this question the right way, walk into your locker room, and probably be consoled by the defense that's going to say, young quarterback, even though you took it all on your shoulders, we can do more as well. Because that's what happens in the locker room. He was so arrogant that even with that, and knowing that he played bad, he'd rather answer the question that way than just say, I have to play better. Yeah. I have to
I
do
have to
more.
Play better.
And
yeah,
when
man.
You look at that lack of awareness, it leads me to a bigger question. Not are you smart enough, not are you humble enough to accept accountability, but do you have enough leadership? Do you have enough intelligence to take us where this roster is possible of going?
Yeah.
And for Zach Wilson, he missed an opportunity to not only be a great leader, but to galvanize this locker room around him and have them back him.
Well said by both you guys. I think the last 36 hours has forced me to just be honest. And like, I need to publicly apologize to guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and guys like Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott, because they've always handled these really difficult situations incredibly well. And I certainly don't speak about that enough, the leadership that they display. That being said, I think it's really important to point out one thing. There's a difference between a young player working through being young on a good team and holding a good team back. I've seen good young players work through difficult times. Josh Allen when the Bills were a good team. Lamar Jackson when the Ravens were a good team. Right now, Zach's holding this football team back, and I think Robert Saleh has to ask himself two questions. If he benches Zach, is he lost forever? If he doesn't bench Zach,
is the team
do I
lost?
Risk losing my locker room forever? And that is a very difficult situation to be in as a head
very
coach.
Hard.
And I think it's easy for us to sit here and say, this is the answer. But this is why leadership councils on teams matter.
The answer for Robert Saleh should be, which loses my job forever.
Well, good point. And the other thing too, guys, remember, this is a player who was picked second overall. That factors in whether we want it to or not.
Totally.
It does. There are many voices that are involved here. We'll keep an eye on it. New on NFL Live from Adam Schefter, a quarterback change. The Panthers will start quarterback Sam Darnold versus the Broncos on Sunday. Our
season papers.
The Panthers 3-8 in last place in the NFC South. Darnold will be the third different quarterback to start a game for Carolina this season.
Play well, bub.
Here we go.
Good luck.
Coming up on NFL Live, the Vikings got cooked like a turkey on Sunday. Hear why Dan thinks the Patriots will be the Thanksgiving meal. They play from shotgun against Minnesota's D-line. Plus, Dallas is coming off an impressive offensive performance, but is what we saw sustainable? Marcus thinks it'll all come down to one person. Find out who that person is. NFL Live is brought to you by Disney's Strange World, only in theaters Wednesday. Get tickets now.
We're going.
Let's all go.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Monday Night Football back for Week 12 as T.J. Watt and the Steelers take on Jeff Saturday's Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Monday Night Countdown kicks off our coverage at 6 Eastern. Time for some smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. And Justin Jefferson could be due for a bounce-back game when he faces the Patriots on Thanksgiving night. Jefferson projected to score as many as 32.6 fantasy points, and he's had at least 30 fantasy points in 4 games this season, tied with Patrick Mahomes for the most by any player. Pretty sure bet there. So, Marcus, of course, Jefferson's coming off a game where he finished with just 3 catches and his offense put up 3 total points. against your Cowboys. So what needs to change for the Vikings offense Thursday against the Patriots?
Y'all, I know we all married in here. Y'all significant other, y'all ever tell them the right exact thing to do and they do the opposite?
Yeah.
And because you're keeping the peace in the house, oh, that you just amazing. Be quiet and kind of put your head down.
Usually
away.
It's my like, husband who's telling me the thing to do that I don't do. So
I'm not getting into this. At
yeah,
all.
What the hell?
Go
what
ahead.
The hell is Kevin O'Connell doing, y'all? What is he doing? Did he not watch the Green Bay Packers game with us against the Dallas Cowboys? What in the world would possibly make you drop back this much against a defense the last time you saw him gave up 207 yards rushing? And I don't care if you wasn't gashing them and hitting home run balls. You got to test this more, especially when you get drubbed to the tune of 40-3. I was very upset, okay? And I know Justin Jefferson is out there and Hockenson and all of those matchups, all of those pretty matchups that you see. Mm. But it's like jewelry when you're at the store. They got these specific lights that shine down on
this
them.
This is actually
as soon as you get
very
outside,
true.
Dull as hell.
This is very true.
That's what O'Connell found out. He was dull. It was dull. It was not the diamonds that he saw in that little thing, in that glass enclosure in the jewelry store. When he got outside, they was dull because the
Dan
sun wasn't shining and it was raining and you figure out that they ain't real. Man, it drove me crazy, bro. Hey, we done told all these damn teams to run the football. That is what's happening in the league now. Every one of them that's doing it is having success. And O'Connor decide, oh, no, you know what? Don't worry about Michael Parsons. He ain't going to get to the quarterback because he didn't last week.
Why
go ahead,
so,
y'all.
Why
I'm pissed
so
off about
mad?
It.
I think, first off, the thing that we have to say about last week is you have to give credit to Dan Quinn for doing things differently than he did against Green Bay. And you also have to say thank you, if you're Dan Quinn, to Kevin O'Connell, because this was a team that didn't focus on the run. And when they got behind, they didn't think about what the Green Bay Packers did when they were down 14, which is run the ball on the first snap of every series after that. When you look at this, we were hesitant to say that Minnesota was one of those teams that we felt that at 7-1, the Minnesota Vikings were actual contenders. And then what happened? Even though they were down 27-10, they come back in the second half of Buffalo, and we felt forced to. And we just found reasons, you know? Well, they're winning close games. And they weren't winning close games before. And Kirk Cousins now is a guy that we can depend on because we saw him do it in Buffalo. And also, look at what Justin Jefferson does, even if he's double covered. And we saw all that, but still now we watch this. You get drummed by the Dallas Cowboys. You're drummed by the Philadelphia Eagles, two teams with elite corners that understand how to rush the passer. They have to figure out this week what they're going to do against the New England Patriots. This is the most important game of the season for Kirk Cousins, for this Minnesota offense, and for this team as a whole. If they do not win, they are in trouble. And Dan's going to be like, well, you know, if they focus on it the right way, then I believe that Kirk Cousins has done everything he needs to do to ascend to the next tier. Well, we're going to figure out this week against Bill Belichick in New England.
I'm actually not worried about the Vikings.
I don't really sound like that.
Sometimes. That is you, Dan.
Did you say drunk?
Drum.
Drum.
We're going to do the rest of the show in that voice, just like it's Dan Orlovsky. Dan, let's get into Mac Jones here in the Pats offense. They got a win on Sunday, but they didn't score an offensive touchdown, so why did they continue to struggle?
Well, if the Patriots go into this game and think that they can play shotgun football, this game is going to be a blowout in favor of the Minnesota Vikings. They cannot pass protect when they go in the gun.
Now we just sound like
you know
like
who else
Dan.
Knows? Their quarterback. When you're in the gun and you're a quarterback, you don't really want to get, when it comes to your drop, deeper than 9 yards. Everyone pay attention to this. This ball is going to get snapped from the 22, 23-yard line. Watch how deep Matt gets in his drop. He's at like the 31 and a half. That's 10 yards. That stresses the tackle just so much more. There's an inside pocket for him to climb to, but since he's so deep, it cuts off that angle. Marcus knows this, where that defensive end can get to. Look at the percentage of dropbacks that they live in. This is the second highest NFL sack rate when it comes to playing in the gun. New England, I've been telling y'all for 2.5 months, get out of the friggin' shotgun. That's not who you are. You cannot protect in the pass game in the shotgun. If you think you're going to do that against Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, I'll tell America right now, you're going to get blown out of the building, and those two players will be player of the game. It's okay. That simple.
All right, so three Thanksgiving Day games coming our way. We're going to build out a DraftKings same-game parlay, combining bets from each of them. So pay attention here, people. Dan, let's start with New England.
Lena, you over lost under money last night.
19.5 points for the Patriots on Thursday.
I'm going to say over. New England actually moved the ball relatively well versus a very good and better Jets defense this past weekend, just stalled in the red zone a little bit in penalties. If they don't do that, I think they score over 20.
Buffalo and Detroit get the action going at 12:30 Eastern on Thursday. Over under 53.5 total points scored in this one.
So while Detroit's defense has been playing better, I'm going to say over. We know Buffalo's explosive. Detroit is just as, certainly in their run game. I'm going to say over.
Couple 7-3 teams in the NFC East and the Cowboys and the Giants on the field. Who wins this one?
The Cowboys.
Okay, there you go. That was all we needed. Okay, up next, you don't want to miss this one, okay? Speaking of the Cowboys, it's Touchscreen Tuesday with
Let's go, RC!
They're going to show us why the Chiefs and the Cowboys
Wake up. Wait,
are
who going?
Looking like the lead contenders to
Cowboys?
Play in Arizona. They're going to be in the Super Bowl.
In Arizona.
Stay
Please
tuned.
In Arizona.
Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and win $150 in free bets if your team's moneyline bet wins. Download the app and use code NFLLIVE when you sign up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, welcome to Touchscreen Tuesday, and it is time to talk about the two teams with the highest probability of making it to the Super Bowl. We have the Kansas City Chiefs, who actually have a chance of making it to the Super Bowl every time training camp starts.
You're right.
And the Dallas Cowboys, whose fans believe that they do.
We're going to break down a play from both teams. One, the game winner, essentially, to Travis Kelce, and then the game sealer, essentially, to Tony Pollard for Dallas. All right, so I want everyone to pay attention to a couple things. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and the game's on the line, I want to do everything I can to get the ball to that player.
Yep.
Now, I motion this player, Watson, all the way across, and I watch that this defender trails me immediately. Offensive, I go, I got the defense I want in man coverage.
Absolutely. You know you have man coverage. Also here, you're going to see that Derwin James, if we can highlight it, one who is an absolute monster, he's playing outside leverage on Travis Kelce because he's expecting that Adderley is going to come down and be a help defender. Now, if you're running over with Justin Watson, and what I'd be telling him is you are locked up man-to-man in cover zero because there is no way in the world I'm cutting Watson instead of cutting Travis Kelce.
Exactly, and what I want to do offensively is design a play that is going to give Patrick Mahomes a ton of answers, but also attack that man coverage. Yep. Travis Kelce does a great job off the line of scrimmage of just setting Derwin James. Derwin James, the matchup right here. Kelce, I want you to run away in man coverage on your mesh route, and here comes Watson on his mesh. The big thing is his getting to that point in the middle and then getting the way of Derwin James on that outside leverage.
And also, too, what Patrick Mahomes does here is absolutely perfect. Look at Adderley. He's looking at Patrick Mahomes. With Patrick's eyes being toward the left, he's going to stay more to this side, thinking that he's going to get an opportunity to cut Watson or tackle him on the throw when he should be looking at Travis Kelce. This pick is perfect because if you watch Derwin James, he's going to have to change the trajectory of his run in order to avoid Watson.
That's a beautiful job by Watson to make sure I don't get collision on the OPI.
Yep.
The outside leverage is created by the scheme. Adderley hangs in the middle because the quarterback's eyes, and I essentially get that walk-in touchdown on mesh. Now, I want everyone to pay attention to Dallas in the game sealer with Tony Pollard. What I'm going to do is take my tight end and put him by himself. I'm doing that to gather information. Yep. Now, when he's doing that, look, he's trying to get attention of Dak Prescott.
Yep.
The reality is this. This is Harrison Smith. He's one of the best safeties in the league. He also runs everything on their defense. He's down there offensively for a reason.
Well,
he's telling you guys on defense, something when it comes to your communication.
Well, yeah, he's talking to him about communication, but here's why he's pointing at him. They know that Harrison Smith is a deep defender, especially in the middle of the field or the half. He's trying to make sure he knows that there's not going to be a blitz. What Harrison Smith is also saying is that if a tight end's backside, I know at number three, there's a player I need to work toward.
Exactly, and since I have this trips, now Minnesota notoriously loves to what we call run, what we call cover four.
Yep.
Deep quarter, deep quarter, deep quarter, deep quarter. But since I have that trips over the air, Harrison Smith was down communicating to his linebacker and Patrick Peterson, we're going to change it from four to four kicks so I can go help that trip.
And,
meaning,
the first thing we're saying push, 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 push. I'm going to push this way because if I get triple C, I'd rather have Harrison Smith push towards CD Lamb than have a backer have to run with it.
Exactly. And Dak Prescott saw that Harrison Smith was down because Dalton Schultz communicated it to him and he's going to change the play at the line of scrimmage. What he's going to do is this. Since I know that Harrison Smith is going to go to that four kick or four push and no longer play that quarter, now, you notoriously, what we like to do is since that guy now is manned up with Dalton Schultz, what I'm going to do is take you and carry you vertical and make sure that that corner is out of there with Dalton Schultz. I've now created that one-on-one matchup with the backer. Usually what we will do is run an out route, but I don't want the out route. I want to end the game, Dak Prescott said. So since he knows he's got man with that linebacker, he's going to give him an up, out, and up again on that rail route. Beautiful job of using information pre-snap to understand that Harrison.
And right now, and as Patrick Peterson pushes, he knows that he's going to get inside leverage by Hicks. And if we go out and up, he's going to have an opportunity, if I'm Dak Prescott, to put the football on the outside with Harrison Smith pushing. And he has no way to be the guy that's over the top of Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard got so much juice.
The reality is this. Kansas City, if you can't stop them and Travis Kelce when it matters the most, you can't beat them. And then with Dallas, when they have that much information pre-snap with Dak Prescott, their offense is tough to stop.
We'll find out if those two end up in the Super Bowl, guys. Let's stay on the Cowboys here for a minute. As they get ready for a Thanksgiving afternoon matchup with the Giants, we have both teams covered here, as you can see. Ed Werder with Dallas, Jordan Renan with New York. So, Ed, we'll start with you. Both teams have been linked to Odell Beckham Jr. in recent weeks. What did Dak Prescott have to say about that possibility today?
Well, Laura, standing at his locker a short time ago, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott revealed that he's personally involved in recruiting free agent Odell Beckham Jr. Prescott said he has shared directly with the wide receiver just how much he and his teammates want Beckham to sign with Dallas. The Cowboys are averaging a league-high 35 points per game since Prescott's return from thumb surgery, but they have only two 100-yard receiving games all season, one by CeeDee Lamb, the other from running back Tony Pollard. When I asked Prescott his sense of Beckham's interest in Dallas, he said there's definitely mutual interest, although he admittedly doesn't know what Beckham is seeking contractually and how that compares to the value Jerry Jones places on him. With Beckham coming off his second ACL surgery, the Cowboys would want him to have a physical when he meets with the team here sometime after Thursday's game against the Giants, the team that drafted Beckham into the NFL and later traded him. For the latest on the Giants, here's Jordan Renan.
Thanks, Ed. Based on the hype entering Thursday's matchup, you'd be hard-pressed to realize that both the Giants and the Cowboys have identical 7-3 records. Dallas is a 9-point favorite entering the contest. Quarterback Daniel Jones believes this will be a great opportunity for the Giants to show who they are, to show what they can do on a national stage. It's not going to be easy. The Giants could be down as many as 6 starters from last week alone, including wide receiver Wandale Robinson, further limiting Jones' pass-catching options. Coach Brian Daboll mentioned that Dallas scored 40 points, had 7 sacks, and easily handled an 8-1 opponent on the road last week. He knows this is going to be a huge challenge, but one that his Giants team relishes.
All right, so Dan, the Giants have been one of the bigger surprises this season in the NFL, right? But if they're going to keep their magic season going, what's one thing you want to see happen with their offense?
They got to move Daniel Jones a ton. The reality is this team's devastated, specifically on the perimeter offensively. How much can they move Daniel Jones early on in this game? Last time that these teams played, they moved the pocket a ton. He was very rarely just sitting there. His legs got to be a big part of this game, Arce. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Second thing is this, the no huddle that they used, the tempo that used. I think they got to be really aggressive in that tempo, calling shots. No huddle, no huddle, no huddle, shot. No huddle, no huddle, no huddle, shot. I'd also like to see multiple play action pass screens, trying to generate some stuff to hold that defensive line a little bit. It's a big challenge, but his legs got to play a part.
Well, I also believe that they have to excel where they have when they've won, which is Saquon Barkley running the football that leads it to the boot game that allows Daniel Jones to move and also get into situations where he can use his legs. Defensively, you have to be big in the red zone and big on third down. You don't want Daniel Jones to have to play quarterback the way he did last week. No you don't doubt. Want him to have to sling it around. You don't want him to have to be a pocket passer. You want Daniel Jones to be a piece of the offense, not the focal point of the offense. And even if you get down, if the Dallas Cowboys are able to score, you have to stick with what got you there, which is the run game to the play action. If you get out of character in any way, the Dallas Cowboys can blow the New York Giants out.
Yeah. You know, Marcus, as much as people talk about Dak and Zeke and Pollard and Lamb, your focus is somewhere else in this offense. Who is it?
Yeah, it's Kellen Moore. Like, listen, y'all, last year when the Dallas Cowboys were 12-4, we saw at the end of the year this team and this offense tail off. And the warning signs were all there. And people slowly saw it jumping off the boat. And I think it had more to do with their offensive coordinator than it had to do with anything. You saw him against the Minnesota Vikings make simple, call simple plays and let stars with the ball in their hands thrive in these situations. Obviously, you see Tony Pollard there. But this is the question for me going down the stretch. We keep talking about, well, is Dak going to play well enough? Does the Cowboys have enough on the perimeter to have success? They got the players. They have the quarterback that can do it. I think this come down to the offensive coordinator making sure that he doesn't get ahead of himself, because we've seen it time and time again over the past 2 years.
Coming up on NFL Live, Bills Mafia took over Detroit this past Sunday because the game had to be moved. But RC believes this Lions defense can hang around with Buffalo, maybe even pull out an upset. Dan also has a similar thought. They're going to tell us how they could do it next. And just because we all want this, how about Swagoo and his pigeon sounds again?
That's actually really good. That's
it's like so good. Here. You know what?
Yeah, that's really
like
good.
That's like a hunting
baby,
call.
We're like a baby zoo.
Like Mike Tyson.
It's so good. Hey, go out there in your yard and do that and see if you call any animals.
He's like flipping pigeons like on training day.
The Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for week 12 at 10 a.m. Eastern. And the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for Steelers-Colts 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. Hey, the NFL is headed back to Las Vegas for the 2023 Pro Bowl games. Yeah, we will.
We'll be there.
All new skills challenges, the first ever NFL flag football games on Sunday, February 5th. Do not miss this. Tickets go on sale Thursday, December 1st. In the meantime, the Pro Bowl roster is in your hands, so scan the QR code that you see on the screen right now to vote. New on NFL Live from Adam Schefter. Look at this. The Rams have waived Daryl Henderson. Henderson was the team's leading rusher. So something to keep an eye on there. We'll see if he gets claimed. Somebody could use him, right,
absolutely,
at this point?
Absolutely.
Really interesting,
absolutely,
right? Okay, time to read and react to the news from around the NFL. We start in Miami, where Tua Tagovailoa, where Mike McDaniel, the head coach, was asked what it means to be in first place 11 weeks into the season.
Lottery ticket that you don't check the winning numbers. I mean, is it worth something? I don't know.
I actually have no idea what that means. Like, I don't. And I know that Mike is such an intelligent coach.
Right?
He's an intelligent human. He's actually too smart for me, because I can see it being a lottery ticket when you don't actually know what the lottery numbers are and you have that type of hope. But to say that it's a lottery ticket that you don't check the numbers on means you just aren't doing the stinking work. And obviously the Miami Dolphins are doing the work. They're the number one team in the AFC East because of his work with Tua Tagovailoa, and Tua Tagovailoa and that team's belief in Mike McDaniels. He is not the guy to give analogies, but he's certainly the dude to call plays. And if I get that lottery ticket, coach, I'll check it for you, because you just might have hit it with getting that job.
Ooh, love it. Hey, you know what? He should watch the beginning of NFL Live today with all the analogies we had on the show.
Get
right?
Some.
It would help him.
Yeah.
If you hit, all right. To Green Bay next, where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are getting ready for a Sunday night matchup with the 9-1 Eagles. Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show this afternoon, talked about the health of his throwing hand. Mm. Take a listen.
Okay. My thumb is what it is. You know, it's been an issue since the Giants, but not an issue that I'm going to rely on for an excuse or need. I mean, after the Cowboys game, I put basically every ball exactly where I wanted to, and there wasn't any questions about how my thumb was. I mean, I've broken other fingers in the past. I played a stretch in college with my index finger and my throwing hand broken. I broke my pinky on both hands. You know, if I still feel I can go out there and throw it the way I want to throw it, then obviously I'm going to keep playing.
Marcus, what do you make of that?
I make that the phalanges are very important, L Boogie. That's what. That's all I take away from it. And if they have never at a time needed to be more important to the Green Bay Packers, it is now. They have a 5% chance to make the playoffs. You know where that 5% lies at? In them phalanges of number 12. So hopefully he's feeling good. Hopefully the cold weather numbs it enough and the warm weather keeps it loose enough. At some point, Aaron Rodgers' phalanges is going to have to lead the Green Bay Packers out of the abyss. And I don't know if he can, Boogie, because his phalanges hurting.
Well, let me say this. That 5% chance that you mentioned, that's according to FPI, which is Football Power Index, not Phalange Power Index, just for people at home. All right. Joe Burrow threw for 355 yards and 4 touchdowns in Sunday's win over the Steelers. The Bengals' offensive line kept Burrow clean. The case, he's nearly impossible to stop. Over the last two seasons, Burrow leads the NFL in completion percentage, yards per attempt, first down rate, and passer rating when the offensive line sustains their blocks for at least 2.5 seconds. So, Dan, what stood out to you from Burrow's tape on Sunday?
Foresight. Throw the ball before the guys are ready for it. And that's the reason why, even without Ja'Marr Chase, this Bengals offense is completely back. Curl, flat, shallow cross, right? Everyone pay attention to the flat defender. That's that guy. If he hangs inside, Joe kicks it to the flat. If he widens to the flat, we're going to move to the curl and the shallow cross. Now I go to the hook defender. If he widens, drop it off to the shallow. If he hangs inside, ball out to the curl. Joe sees it, but that receiver's just dropping his hips, but he's already made the decision to get the ball out. That's what we call timing and or anticipation. Now I'm going to get all go F-seam stop. That's this receiver right here, Tyler Boyd. There's two man, meaning this defender's going to trail with inside leverage. Ball's got to come out 1, 2, 3 hitch. Just as Boyd is dropping his weight to sell that seam and that defender carries because that corner up top's peeking inside as well. Ball's got to come out, Joe. Perfect placement. That's timing. That's anticipation. That's what we call foresight. That receiver's about to be open. Ball has to come out of my hands right now. That's always helping that offensive line protect a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's always been Joe's superpower. It's why they are absolutely a team, certainly an offense, to be reckoned with as the rest of the season goes on.
How many quarterbacks can you really say they help the offensive line be better,
Tua,
right?
Tua's one of them. Patrick.
Not many, though.
Yeah,
you can count them on one hand. Right, exactly.
Phalanges.
Good on you. Oh, my God, the phalanges. All right, speaking of that, Marcus, what's coming up next?
Why you ain't put Zach Wilson in? No, I'm just playing. Let me leave that alone. My man, BMB is coming up, baby. And my man, Aleem McNeil, made a huge play. But it did not make BMB. I got a special BMB for y'all today. The big fellas are back. Get rid of them linebackers. Get rid of them little dudes that's on the cusp of needing a 3X and they belts don't break. This is Belt Breakers today. BMB.
Belt Breaker. Big Man Ballin' is brought to you by Old Spice Gentleman's Blend Body Wash because men have skin too.
It's Big Man Ballin' time! And y'all know how we turn up on this segment. Finna give you all I got. Heavy passion. Let me introduce y'all to the big fellas that made plays on Sunday. Let's go! Look at him! Somebody better block him. All you doing is saying, where did he come from? Martin Spears Jr. with the rim club. Go get the quarterback. Big man be balling.
Shout out to Old Spice, man, keeping the big men smelling good. All right, let me get to it, man. We got some BMBs today, and I'm sticking straight to that defensive line because we did work. First, I'm going with my man, Jonathan Allen, who, by the way, has not appeared on this enough, even though he's been making plays all season long. But this one right here, come along and ride on a fantastic voyage. Davis Mills don't know what the hell happened to him. He didn't even see Jonathan Allen. All he saw was the back of his offensive lineman. This is BMB at his finest. This is a BMB taking another BMB and hitting a little LMB with him. Davis Mills, you got introduced to Jonathan Allen because he made big man balling and he didn't even have to touch your necks. Y'all, this may be the most athletic play I've ever seen Max Crosby make, and he's made a lot of plays, but Max Crosby decided to take a knee on Russell Wilson and still sack him. This is BMB at his finest. This is an athletic feat I'm not sure many can accomplish that play on the defensive line in the NFL. He took a knee and got a sack on Russell Wilson. Lord, somebody come help Russell Wilson. And last but not least, my man Aiden Hutchinson is getting these phalanges on footballs all year long. The rookie is having a monster season. He drops back in coverage like I used to do at LSU. He steps in front of the crosser. And only thing I would tell you, Aiden, is we got to get pay dirt, big dog. We got to get to the end zone. And we damn sure can't get caught by an offensive lineman. I was bigger than you, and even I didn't do it. But this is a phenomenal play. This is all hands. This is snatching it out of the air. This is your phalanges working at a maximum, optimal, whatever you want to put to the word. That's BMB for this week. It's been all D linemen, linebackers. Take a back seat. We done with y'all.
I know, we're stuck on phalanges. By the way, I got to correct something for the record. Phalanges, I know, it's spelled with TH. I said F, but you know, whatever.
Is it
PH? Yeah, sorry.
Here's how I knew it was, because Dan said yes when you asked it to start with F.
I know.
And when Dan said yes, I was like, that's not it.
Yo, honestly, as the days go, I'm like, thank God I know football.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. All right, let's get to Thursday's games. We got some great ones. I'm excited about Thanksgiving, these games. Hutchinson and the Bills. We just talked about Aiden Hutchinson. The Lions hosting the Bills in the first of three games on Thanksgiving. The Bills got the win Sunday, but Josh Allen hadn't looked like himself lately as he deals with an elbow injury. Allen has one or fewer passing touchdowns in three straight games. That's his longest streak since 2019. The Lions have won three straight, including Sunday's upset of the Giants. During the streak, the Lions' defense has more takeaways than they had in the first seven games of the season combined. So the turnover battle is going to be key. Over the last 3 weeks, the Lions' defense is tied for the league lead in takeaways, while the Bills' offense has committed the second most turnovers. Look at that. All right, so that stat, I think, leads us into this conversation really well. But either way, Marcus, let's start here. A weird stretch here for the Bills, right? So the huge snowstorm moved their game from Buffalo to Detroit on Sunday. What did you make of their win over Cleveland?
I thought it was a win that should catapult them into being a better team going forward. Y'all, I think the Bills listened to a little bit of the noise and the praise. Like, I know they've suffered from some injuries. I know that they've had some issues, obviously, with the injury bug, but it didn't seem like this team was the team that we all thought they would be. For a stretch of weeks, we start finding holes. Josh Allen was turning the football over. The defense was giving up some things, and Milano coming back definitely helps that. And even in this Cleveland game, they faced a little bit of adversity. This game was only 13-10 going into halftime with some missed opportunities by the Cleveland Browns. I think this is going to open their eyes. I think Sean McDermott finally has everybody's attention in that building, and they're understanding how difficult it is to win. They've been the darlings of the NFL offseason. They've been the darlings of coming into the season. Now I think the Buffalo Bills are about to get back to business, and I think this move of a game and playing against Cleveland will put them in that vein of, we got to grind for everything that we want.
Let's spin ahead to this matchup against the Lions on Thursday. You've been telling me, Dan, all week long that Detroit's going to give them some trouble, these Bills.
I think Detroit gives Buffalo hell Thursday.
Okay, so how are they going to do it? Where would it be?
Their offensive line will dent the heck out of their defense. If I was going to tell you the most important person and or people on this Buffalo team to win, it's their defensive tackles, man. Ed Oliver's got to have the game of the season for them. This Detroit offensive line changes the line of scrimmage. That ball was snapped at, like, the what, 33? Yo, look at, they're pushing a good defensive line in the New York Giants 3-4 yards off the ball. And it's a diversity of run games. Sometimes it's, guys, look at the change of the line of scrimmage on this stuff, man. They are gashing holes, and they've been doing it for 10 games this year. If the Buffalo Bills don't dominate on the inside, you're gonna see power, you're gonna see counter, you're gonna see toss, you're gonna see zone, you're gonna see lead. You are gonna see a diverse run game. And I'm telling you, man, this feels a lot like Indy Buffalo last year, when Indy just pounded the football against a good defense. If they don't come correct, I think Detroit has the chance to give Buffalo an absolute beatdown Thursday.
Listen, I don't know physically if it's going to be a beatdown, but you definitely don't want to play the Detroit Lions. Nobody wants to walk into stadiums and play teams like these. And normally, it was just about them fighting hard and the fact that you knew the whole Dan Campbell quote that they bite kneecaps. But now they are turning the football over defensively. They have a run game that will bludgeon your nose. And what happens is, as the game continues to get long and you get into the late third quarter, the early fourth quarter, and the Detroit Lions are kind of hanging around crowd, you begin to question yourself. And the Buffalo Bills are going to start to say, you know what? We've watched them pull off wins. We've watched them finish games. And we understand how difficult this team is to beat up physically. If they can get turnovers early on, if this run game gets going, I believe all the pressure mounts on the Buffalo Bills. And it's going to be incredibly hard to knock this team out late.
So despite all of this and the Lions' improved play lately, the Bills are still 9.5-point favorites.
I mean, we love Buffalo. I think Buffalo wins, but oh, buddy.
Oh,
I'm telling you, man.
Okay, we'll keep an eye. Time for one more thing before we go. Three NFL games on Thanksgiving. Dan and Marcus, you both got to be a part of that tradition many times over the years, playing in Detroit and Dallas. Marcus, you like playing in those games?
Man, Thanksgiving games were fun, man. You get a turkey and you get to eat after the game if you balled out or you was player of the game. And then one year, my defensive line, we decided to wear camo. It was my idea because y'all know I'm a hunter. And we wasn't even hunting turkey. So I don't even, now that I think about it, it's probably dumb as hell to wear that. But it was great playing on Thanksgiving. All your family in town, they can't wait for the game to be over to go back and get with them. And most importantly, you eat good. If you're me, not
me. I figured it was going to get to that.
You eat good every day, bro. We see it. I got engaged 14 years ago on Thanksgiving Day. Shout out to Wifey. Playing on Thanksgiving was like Monday Night Football.
That's it.
Playoff type of environment in Detroit. Tim the Toolman Taylor comes. He's like the greatest actor of all time.
Okay. Yeah. RC also played in two Thanksgiving games, right?
Yeah, I played in Thanksgiving games. I don't remember them. Just late to get to gumbo if you had to play on Thanksgiving.
I still don't understand. Yeah, you gumbo on Thanksgiving?
I bet Dan worked the hell out of that clipboard on them Thanksgiving games, y'all. He worked the hell out of that clipboard.
Guys, Dan told me that his favorite food on Thanksgiving is mashed potatoes. The most bland thing ever. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. See you next week.